11, 10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and anything else our host wants to talk about. Neil Smith is the Vice President of Social Media and Innovation at Denham & Company, lives in Texas, loves the Spurs, and exploring the world with his family. Jay Cranda is the online pastor at Saddleback Church, lives in California, loves the Lakers and drinking black cold brew coffee, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMC Podcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by a special guest this week. It's my sister, Becky Kaiser. Becky, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you.
So Becky is better known for being the creator and the founder of Sacred Holidays. And so you can check that out at sacredholidays.com. And that is in the show notes. We're going to talk a little bit about, and so we talk a lot about social media as a family. We're going to talk about her social media strategy with Sacred Holidays. We're going to talk about a little bit about Sacred Holidays, what it is. And then she did something really new yesterday that I encouraged her to do for about a month. She finally did it, so I'm eager to process it with her. We haven't talked about it. And so we're going to process it live here on the show. And it's kind of like a live consultation, but I learn more from Becky about social media, to be honest, than I do for myself, because she's in a totally different world, you know, where I'm focused on, you know, I like things like sports and different things. And then she's on Pinterest and Instagram and mom talk kind of stuff. And so anyways, we're going to talk about social media. Becky, will you share a little bit about what Sacred Holidays is and where it came from?
Yes. So Sacred Holidays is for all of us who love the holidays. So we love Christmas, we love Easter, we love Valentine's Day and Halloween and all the holidays, but yet we find ourselves caught up in the craziness of them. So the chaos that comes with the wonderful, magical times, we want to bring Christ into that. So the times where we seem to separate ourselves from Christ, we want to connect back to Him. So we provide Bible studies during Advent, which is Christmas, and Lent, which is Easter. We provide Bible studies during those times, and then all throughout the year, we are there to encourage and equip women to follow after God. And then we are going to be adding in some new things this coming year with a blog and different things like that to really become your go-to resource for all things focusing on Christ during the holidays.
Okay. So the brand has grown a ton. And this is a big question that a lot of people have is it just for women? Because I was a part of writing the men's study. Is it just for men? Is it co-ed? Who's it for? And how did you define that audience?
So originally was definitely just for women. And then like, I'm much like Nils, where it's like, there's all these ideas and like, the bigger, the better. And so I was like, let's explore this to everyone. And so we did. We started a men's, we started teen girls, and we did some stuff for families, for singles. We kind of dabbled in other options. And this past summer was really me just sitting down and focusing and saying, okay, who do we really want to minister to and equip? And it's women. So we are still doing things for men, like you're doing the Advent men's study. Yeah. We're still doing teen girls studies. We're still doing families, family stuff, and we're going to be equipping other niche groups throughout the year. But our focus is women and then all the people that surround them. So that's why we want to train up our teen girls. So we have Hannah Stovall as our teen girls girl. And so she's doing this because we want to train up the future women. And then we want to equip all the people that are in women's lives.
Yeah. And you've gotten to know Holly Tate, and Holly Tate was a guest on our show.
She's awesome.
So she talked a lot about finding your target audience.
Yes.
So who is your target audience? If you were to really niche that down.
Yeah.
How do you define that? And I love that you have a primary audience and secondary audiences, because that's valuable as well.
Yeah. So I would say our primary audience is women ages 25 to 45.
Okay.
So millennial-ish. I mean, who really even knows really what that word is? But it's women's married and single. So I wouldn't say that there's anything specific we do, whether I know now in Christian, everything is we have singles and women's and married people separated. And what we do is not specific to that. So it's just women who are 25 to 45. So you're kind of figuring out what you're doing in life. You want to make Christ a central focus in all your next steps, and you want that to not just be surface.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's talk about social media. So you've got, you're targeting women 25 to 45.
Yes.
Five. And you've kind of gone around about it a little bit.
Yeah.
What social media, what has been your strategy and what have you learned along the way over the last 3 years?
Right. So my initial strategy first year was survival and like just do what I can. And so that would be my encouragement for anyone listening is wherever you are, just like do what you can today. Because when you look at social media, like Nils will tell me about new things coming out and like I get so overwhelmed. He's so excited. He's like, you got to try this. And like, I just like... it makes me want to quit everything because I'm like, I can't do all of these. And so initially it was like just survival, focusing on content, not marketing. This past year was more transitioning of we're figuring out who we are as a business. Now we want to know, like, how can we reach more people? Because we really believe in our mission of equipping people to not have chaos but Christ during the holidays. So how can we reach them? Well, social media is awesome when you have no money like yeah. we do as a ministry. So where did we start? So we were on Facebook. Instagram is big for us. We've done some Twitter. We have done Pinterest a little bit. I thought about Periscope, but it was too much. And so really trying to figure out where our people are. And I think our market is on Facebook and on Instagram. Yeah. And so we're going to grow Pinterest because we want to be able to equip you with fun things to do during the holidays. So that will be rolling out in the fall. But right now, Instagram is our primary, and we're going to be boosting up Facebook coming up.
Okay. So Instagram being your primary, do you post to Instagram and push it to Facebook? Or how does that work?
Recently it's been mostly just because I've just now started bringing in a team. So it's more like I can only be so many places at once. And so thankfully you can pre-schedule most things.
Yeah.
So Instagram has been what we do. And then we reshare it on Twitter or Facebook accordingly. There's nothing been unique for Facebook that we haven't already done on Instagram, and that will be changing coming up.
Okay, very fun. Very fun. So the new initiative, and I think this makes a lot of sense for what Becky's audience with, you know, women 25 to 45, Instagram and Facebook is where they're probably most engaged. I would probably say Pinterest would be the next platform. Pinterest is actually women are spending so much time on it, you know, and so while there might not be as many eyeballs, they're spending more time there.
Right.
But it's harder to engage. It's just it's a unique platform.
It's different.
So I think you're really focusing on the right platforms there. I'm curious if you see the same thing.
Yeah.
Almost like a resurgence on Facebook. It's almost as if people abandon Facebook and now they're coming
back.
Because
it kind of became hit to our parents, but I felt like our parents all kind of overtook Facebook. And I know like teens now would say we're their parents' generation, but I think it became uncool for a while. So we all like, you either went to Twitter, to Instagram, or both, and then Periscope and everything else started exploding. So yeah, I feel like Facebook, I want to like invest in it now as much as I did with Instagram a year ago.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, and Instagram is not giving you stats, but I feel like it's losing. I don't know the stats specifically, but I do see that I'm getting less like likes and comments on my posts, which tell me I'm probably getting less impressions.
Yeah, and I think with Instagram, it's hard because it's become such a facade in some ways of social media because there's all this pressure for it to be very beautiful, which makes sense, right? Because it's images. So you want, and so I feel like I always have this internal struggle of, I really want beautiful things. However, I like also want to be very genuine, but it's a weird balance to make Instagram work well.
Yeah. Yeah. So they say marketers ruin everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's happened at Twitter. That's what's kind of happened with Pinterest. And then that's kind of what's happening with Instagram.
Yeah.
But Facebook has done a good job of you almost don't even notice the marketing as much as the advertisements, the way they built it in. And I think that's one of the popularity aspects of Facebook because they've made ads so seamless. So let's talk about what you just did.
Yeah.
So I've been pushing you for months to do Facebook Live.
Right.
And you have said, well, what about Periscope? What about, I don't know, should I have light? Should I have... So talk about, you finally took the leap yesterday.
Did it.
And why did you just now do it?
Right.
Why did you do it? And what was your strategy or thought process or even hope going into it?
Okay, so Periscope, I just didn't want to add another thing. So I was really happy when Facebook announced Facebook Live because I was like, if there's going to do something, let's just go where we are. But I didn't want to do it. But you kept encouraging it. But then I felt like I needed, the ones I was watching were more professionally done. I was like, I need to have a setup. I need to have an action plan and all this. And then finally I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to give it a go. And so one of the other things this summer I was encouraged by a coach is don't be afraid of building your own platform when you're building your ministries as well. And that it's actually beneficial for your ministry when you build your own platform. It brings it more credibility. And so I've been encouraged to use my personal gift of teaching and speaking and writing as along with what I'm doing with Sacred Holidays, and that it's mutually beneficial, and not to fear the mutual beneficial. So I decided to launch Facebook Live under my personal account, not the Sacred Holidays account, which I'd love to get your thoughts on if that was a right move or a wrong move.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion, but keep going. So, you decided to do it.
I did it.
How much did you prep for it? And did you hold the camera? Did you set up a tripod? Did you use lights? Did you use a microphone?
It's pretty obvious I was holding it because it's like very wobbly.
I wasn't going to say anything, but yes.
Very wobbly because the tripod I have is so tall. So it was like the awkward selfie height.
Okay.
So I set up the tripod, but it was like really obvious. Like when those girls try to do the selfie so high, and it's like, I'm not going to be one of those people.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just hold it. No big deal. But then it was like, Not a good option to do. So the only prep I did was I felt like I needed to share something the Lord had shown me when I'd read something in His Word that morning.
Yeah.
So just I wanted it to be raw, so I did not have talking points. I didn't have schedule.
Yeah.
But I'd heard that you need to announce it, so I did an announcement that morning. But it was Sunday at church, so I didn't really know like how things get seen. But algorithms are so weird now, so you never know when anything's really being seen.
Yep.
And then I did an announcement an hour before posting a blog that I wrote, explaining why I decided to do Facebook Live. So I was trying to kind of announce it in two different ways so people might join.
So you did it.
I did it.
And so tell us about it. So you did it. Were you expecting it to be 5 minutes? It was 20 minutes long.
Okay.
Was that what you planned on, or what were you expecting?
So I texted Nils literally 2 minutes before I went live. I was like, bro, like, how long should I do this? Is it going to be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour? What does this need to be? And he said, just do it. Like, do it at your pace. Whatever you think it should be, just let it be that. So I didn't have an aim. I just was like, okay, I wanted to start this to share the message I had. Yeah. And so I decided not to, like, I didn't watch the clock. So I didn't know if it had been 10 minutes or 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it was 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
I'm trying to think what else to ask around it. Was it distracting for you when you saw comments coming in? Because, I popped in early on.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, hey, bro.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that distracting or was that encouraging, like a speaker having an audience and they could see your audience?
I've had a couple of friends text message me that today. And I have, and then when I watched it back, I had a different perspective on that too. And as I watched other Facebook Live, and Periscope, I see people respond a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And I love that. On Facebook Live, I've not seen people do that.
Right.
But I always love it on Periscope when they respond. So I wanted to interact more.
Yeah.
So I intentionally wanted to comment when I saw comments because I really want people to comment in the future. So if I can encourage the comments now, like maybe we can get more as we keep going.
Right.
But I did feel like there were times when I was distracted. And then as I got going, I was like, well, I said hi to the people at the beginning, so should I be saying hi to them now? Well, I'm really into it now, so I don't want to ignore. So there were several times, like, I could even watch my face, like, people would say things, and it's like, in my head, I had a quick internal battle of, I need to respond.
Yeah.
But then I chose not to, so I wasn't distracting once we got into the meat of things.
Yeah, so it,
so did you think it was distracting? And I said hi to you twice, which I didn't know until the second, because is it delayed, comments?
It is. The comments are a little bit delayed, which Periscope, it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting dynamic with Facebook Live. And I want to kind of hold my feedback, until after we get all the way through. And then you did it, and you know, that's really good feedback for you as a presenter, you know, for what other people can expect going into it. And then you texted me right afterwards. You're like, 239 people.
Yeah, but when I was on it, I thought it said 22. And so I was like, I only had 22 people watching me, which is fine. I wasn't really that discouraged, but I think I see all the people you share. So I'm like, we are going to have all these. And I didn't really expect that.
Yeah.
But I think I expected more than 22 people. Okay. And however it was showing on my screen, maybe the number was blocked or something, or I just didn't see it right.
Yeah.
It might have been 22 comments. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But then when I, like, X'd out and then it popped up, it said all the like 200 plus views, and I was like, oh my word.
Yeah So you were surprised by that?
Totally.
And then so that, what did you expect, about 100 maybe?
Yeah, I'd say 100 ish
yeah. And then I told you, and I'm just going to brag on myself here.
I know.
So I said, oh, you think that's exciting? You're going to wake up and there's going to be over 1,000 views.
Yeah, you told me that. And how many were there? I was like, bro, don't tell me that, because then I'm going to feel like a failure if it's like 300 the next day, which is why I was like, maybe we'll grow a couple, like 50 more.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what time I woke up and there was like right over 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just looked right now, okay. And you just hit 1,500.
That's so crazy. 1,500 people.
Yeah. So you had 1,500 people that have watched it.
Thank you to everyone who shared. You did watch it.
Yeah. So, and then you commented, like you got on there and commented on other people's comments. That was good
advice. I kind of get to cheat on all this because I'm the expert at my texting.
But that's a big deal. So you got on there and engaged the comments. Okay. So any other feedback from presenting?
No.
Okay. So feedback.
Okay. I'm truly, truly hearing this for the first time. Like I've been wanting feedback all day long.
This is an opinion.
Okay.
And I think you did a great job on your first one. And I think you made a lot of the right decisions, but I would make some adjustments for your next one.
Yes.
So the first decision, and you asked me earlier, should I have done it on my personal or should I have done it on my page?
Yeah.
I think for your first one, doing it on your personal was good.
Okay.
I think you're going to get a lot more views on your page.
Really?
Because only your friends can see it unless somebody shares it.
Oh, even if you set it to public.
Even if you said it, but they would have to find it because somebody shared it.
I got it.
And so that limits it. Now, Facebook automatically detects friends post personal, gets ranked higher on the algorithm. So you're going to immediately have more views that way.
Okay.
But because it's on your page, you have kind of an unlimited range of people who could see it. So you have a greater viral opportunity.
Right, where all my friends are kind of friends with each other, so they're not going to reshare it if they've already seen it shared.
Correct. Or there's a lot of people that might like sacred holidays that aren't a friend of yours personally.
Right.
Because you guard your personal stuff, because you post family pictures, you don't add everyone as a friend.
Right.
So you've got some limitations. I mean, the truth is you have 1,500 views.
Yeah.
Do you have 1,500 friends on Facebook?
I don't even
probably
know.
Right at that. Uh-huh. But most posts are seen by about 10%.
Okay.
Well, that was seen by almost 100%.
Yeah.
So you got great engagement, but it's limited by your friends.
Okay.
The number of friends.
Yeah.
Your page has no limit to it.
Okay.
So I would shift to doing it with your page next time and then immediately share it
on your personal
after you've done it. So
brother,
anyway,
this
so
is why you are like world renowned expert.
World
on this
renowned
thing.
Right here. Okay. So I would do it on the page and see what happens. Compare the two. The other thing is the length, you know, so you did 20 minutes and you're free in that. I think having freedom in that is a good thing with Facebook Live. But I think that most people, what you saw is that you had 239 people live, but you now had 1,500 people total view.
Right.
So more people are watching it after the fact. And I think that when somebody sees a 20-minute video, they think, I can't watch the whole thing, so I better not get into this.
Okay.
So I think keeping it less than 5 minutes is
less
the ideal for Facebook Live.
Okay.
Now, I don't think that's across the board.
Right.
I think you can break the rules and have a unique
experience.
Some
longer ones, but most of them be a quick check-in, not so much a whoa.
Right. Okay. A long planned out, you know. No, I think that's, you can mix and match there, but I think for greater viral opportunity, the shorter the better.
Okay.
I think longer than 2 minutes, I think it's less than 2 minutes, it's like, did they just turn it on and turned it off?
Right, yeah.
But going over 5 minutes is hard for people, because most people are watching on their mobile.
Right.
They're on the go, and it's hard to really watch a video for longer than 5 minutes. So, anyways, that's kind of my critique on the length.
Okay.
I think it was good. I watched the whole time, and I was very engaged.
Well, you're kind of a little
I'm your brother,
bit,
but
yeah,
I think a lot of other people were too.
Yeah.
And you saw a lot of people commenting, because you can see the comments on the end of it. So a lot of people watched all the way to the end. I would just, for future ones, try to keep
it shorter. Right.
Or think that way, because I think you'll get even more views and shares that way.
The
other thing, you know, and you did a pretty good job of it. But I would encourage how you want people to interact. I thought you did a great job of, like, if you agree, hit like so I can see that you're agreeing. It's like, amen. Encouraging people, like, giving those clear calls to action. People do it. When you did that, people were liking
it. Yeah, I know, and that made me happy. You made them engage.
And so I would keep doing that. And then at the end, say, would you please just share this with a friend? If you stay to the end, would you hit the share button and share this with someone else so they can experience this as well? With Facebook Live, they're watching it, there's not a share button on there. They have to wait until the end of the video or go back into their news feed to hit share. And so it's harder to hit share unless they go all the way to the end.
Right.
But you want to encourage them. Okay. Like, this is what I want you to do.
So hit even share. If they're watching it when it's not live, they can't press share until they finished it?
No, if they're not, only when they're watching it live,
if
they go to the full screen.
Cool.
To engage with it. I think that's a good question. I don't know that for sure.
Oh, did I just
But
stump
most
you?
People are watching it on their mobile device. So think mobile as to where people are watching it. I think that's all. So page, shorter length.
Not so shaky. Like that was a real close up for end of the day, Becky, too.
No, I thought it was personal. I thought the handshaking made it more personal.
Okay.
I don't think people like things so polished with the lights and the microphone and everything else, and your audio is very clear. I would say that I'd get like a little tabletop tripod.
Okay.
So that you can do it.
Cart.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, perfect. Tabletop tripod for your iPhone. You don't need a microphone. It doesn't hurt though.
Okay.
To use a microphone, lights can be overkill.
Okay.
And so what you don't want, I don't feel like, is sometimes you can see people with like lights and they're like lit up, they're glowing. Yeah. And it's like, you don't want people to really know you have a microphone.
Yeah.
You just want them to be able to hear you clearly and see you clearly.
Right.
And so the one other piece of advice I would give is right at the beginning of the video.
Yeah.
When you look at Facebook and the news feed and you're scrolling through with the video, you can't hear the audio, right?
Right.
And so, but you're watching the first 10 seconds of the video.
Yeah.
So if it looks interesting, you might click on it to listen to the audio.
Okay.
So you want to do something that might look interesting.
Oh.
So if you can make like a silly face, or if you go like, blah, 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 or you can like
turn the audio. Just in case anybody's, which you can't see.
So if you do something that will like catch people's attention.
Yeah.
And like, just like point at the camera, you know, like.
So when it was saying people are joining in, like, because people are joining halfway through.
Yep.
Were they then starting back at the beginning, or because they were joining a live one, were they joining, picking up right in the middle where we were?
If they were live while you record, they were picking up right in the middle where we were.
Because there were constantly people joining throughout.
Yep.
And how come some people like explode and you can see their face and name, and others you just kind of see them come through?
I think they're exploding face and name when they're hitting the like button or the face, the heart button or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know exactly.
It does like different things.
So the other thing I would do with Facebook Live is play with some of the features of it. So you can actually like draw on the screen now.
Oh.
And there's all kinds of interesting features that like Snapchat, they've integrated into Facebook Live.
Okay.
So have fun with some of those features.
Okay.
And so I would do some Q&A type videos.
Okay.
Or Facebook Live times. Like, I'm just going to do a live Q&A tonight. Those videos are not going to go as viral.
Okay.
But those people, that does give people an opportunity to interact
really
with you.
Really get to know you.
So you know that, like, that. So that's a video you might do just on your personal
profile. And Sacred Holidays, or even Sacred Holidays, we can make that really niche specific of, we're going to be answering all your questions on how you can reach your neighbors at Halloween. And let's discuss ideas, and we'll give some great feedback. So we could...
Exactly.
Things that don't really convey well in a blog.
Yeah, or if you have a friend and you want to do both of you at the same time having a conversation,
the debate
on
about
the camera.
Santa or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. But think about it. If you want it to go viral, keep it short. And I say viral, you're probably not going to have like the lady that had the Chewbacca mask viral.
Oh, yes.
But you could have 10,000 people, you know, 15,000 people that see that video, because it is huge. When you think about like YouTube and how long it took people to get that.
Yeah.
So Facebook has a huge reach opportunity. But just, I think a few little tweaks, but constantly change, constantly adapt, and then see what works or doesn't work. Those are my opinions. And then
so
see where it goes.
Can I ask, do we have time for more questions?
We got 5 minutes.
So, 5 minutes. Good. So I have heard on like the other blogging groups I'm a part of, or Christian women in ministry, whatever, Facebook groups, that they say that Facebook's algorithm really pushes down like the group pages or whatever they're called. Yeah. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to do it on my page, was I felt like I had a better chance.
Yes.
So if I recorded on Sacred Holidays, even though there's a broader base, I felt like it would have the potential of not being seen by people, because Facebook wouldn't want it being seen. Is that true?
It is true. And so that's the downside to it, is that they're going to automatically, on the algorithm, it's going to be lower because it's a page. And what they want you to do is pay money.
Okay.
So they want you to promote it so more people can see it. Now, you could do that with a you know, a stream that might be really important.
Yeah.
But just posting that to your page and sharing it to your profile. So what I would do is get the people that you're closest to as well.
Okay.
Saying, I'm going to do a Facebook Live on the Sacred Holidays page tonight at 9 p.m. It's going to be 5 minutes long. Can you at 9:05 hit that share button and share it to your personal thing? So Facebook sees that 15 people just shared it.
Okay.
They're thinking, wow, this is important. Okay. More people are going to want to watch this.
So now, what? I have time for another question.
One more.
So people who, like me, where I have a ministry, but I also have my own thing.
Yep.
And I'm hearing, like, I've had lots of people ask me, why don't you have your own page yet to do these kind of things?
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that because I hear all these, like, fan page pushdowns, algorithms. So I'm like, I just can't handle any more things.
Yes.
But, so what is the need for these personal pages people have?
Yes.
Why would you choose that?
It's a good question. So one, I like that you know your limits. And you're going to say, you know what? A lot of people get on social media, they're like, oh, we have a brand, so we need a Pinterest account, we need a Twitter account, we need a Periscope account, we need a MySpace account, we need all these accounts.
Yeah.
And you can't keep up with it. And so you say, you know what? We have Facebook and Instagram,
right.
And we kind of have Twitter, and we probably even shouldn't.
Right.
You know, like, you're going to focus in. So even with your personal, you have your personal and your page. Well, you know that there's things that you want to share with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Probably on your page, and then there's some things that you want to share with family and friends on your profile. And so, and you don't want to add everyone as a friend.
Right.
So as you become more and more of a public figure, you can have privacy with your profile. Your page is, everything is public. Everything posted on that is public for everyone. Now, it's not going to get seen by as many people. So if you're looking for reach, add a bunch of people as your friends,
right?
I guess, but then you're losing privacy.
Right.
So it allows you to have privacy in your personal profile. If you care about that. And it allows you to have kind of then this public persona, and so as you're an author, you more and more are going to, and you're speaking at prisons and you're doing lots of unique things that you might not want to post all your stuff, and there's going to be a lot of people that want to add you as a friend, and you don't want to say no.
Right.
And I think in that way you say, you know, I have this page.
Kind of redirect.
You know, we can stay connected on this page. And so that allows people to connect with you personally still.
Right.
It feels weird, you know, as a person to have this kind of personal platform.
Right.
But it really does make sense over time.
Yeah.
But there's kind of a tipping point. And so you and I are both in the same place where and I have one now, and you pushed me to have one, you know, many years ago. And I've wrestled with it and I struggled with it, but it is beneficial because a lot of my friends don't want to know all about social media all the time.
Right.
So that's my page allows me to talk about social media and business and marketing and things that are going to just be annoying to most of my family and friends.
Yeah.
So it allows me to kind of separate the two conversations and not to say that professional and personal are separate, you know, it does kind of merge. But it allows me to really focus my profile on my personal and my you know, marketing, business, church, ministry on the professional. So,
cool.
Makes sense?
Makes sense, bro.
All right. So, well, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about Sacred Holidays, reach out to Becky on Twitter or Instagram. What's the best place for people?
Don't do Twitter. I just it, like you said, like I should probably just remove it, but I just can't. So,
okay.
I'm Instagram. I'm at Becky Kiser, K-I-S-E-R. Or Sacred Holidays on Instagram is at Sacred Holidays.
Yep.
And then sacredholidays.com, BeckyKaiser.com, all the links are there.
Okay. So sacredholidays.com is the place to go. BeckyKaiser.com. It will all be in the show notes. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the host, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the host. Thanks again for listening.